الرجل مزينة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما خير أوتي الإنسان. This is a hadith which is in Mishqat, the collection of hadith Mishqat. And this hadith, the Qabila Mazina, the Mazina tribe, a person from within this tribe narrates this hadith, that some people were present on one occasion in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people put forward a request, a question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his service. And it was a unique question, a good question, and a very beneficial question. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And the question that was asked or put forward was that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please advise us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the best thing that Allah ta'ala has given to the human being? So this was a very clear question that they knew, they understood, they had the understanding. And who were they asking? They were asking, obviously, the biggest khair, the personality, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave, Allah Ta'ala gave his example to us and his leadership to us, and such ibadat and knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given, salah, hajj, zakah, fasting and all tasbihat and du'as that we've been given, and we've been given wazifas and lessons and adhkar and kitabs and days and nights and months that we've been given, and beautiful holy days and nights and events that come up. And on top of this, this person is asking, he knows that the Prophet ﷺ is present physically, and what more khair could there be than what they've already got? Can there be more khair than everything we've already got? He could have thought. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave a beautiful answer to this, and very lofty, you can say, answer, very thoughtful answer, and in a nice short way, Nabi ﷺ said, Al-khuluqul hasan, that the human being, the best thing and the greatest thing that Allah Ta'ala has given is akhlaqi husana. Akhlaqi husana. So in other words, all ibadat, the greatest and the best thing is what? Akhlaqi husana. The good conduct and behavior. It doesn't matter how much you pray and you are haji and you worship and you do many actions and deeds. But what is the thing that will shine out from a person is his akhlaq, his conduct. And if you have all of the things present, you pray a lot of salah and voluntary actions and nawafil, etc., etc., but your akhlaq is not present within you, then you are useless person. Zero. Useless person. Everything you are called eliminating with your own hands. Well, the biggest asset is akhlaqi husana, hasana. Now, akhlaq, you know, good level of conduct and behavior and manners. And this takes a person, you can say, from the ground up to the sky, from the earth to the heavens in status and rank. It's such a very important thing. It's akhlaq that elevates a person so much so that all of his ibadat, his worship, are accepted for this reason. And this same akhlaq, conduct, is such a set of stairs or a ladder that if you start ascending this, you can attain Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifah and nearness. If we don't have this, you can't get to Allah. This is the ladder. A person doesn't get close to Allah due to ibadat, worship, is due to akhlaq. All of the awliya Allah who came to this world or who will keep on coming, how did they become awliya Allah? When they had akhlaq husna, akhlaq within them. Now akhlaq, good manners, good behavior, conduct, this is the high and final stage of tafsiya qalb, tazkiya qalb. For example, we're sitting and we're doing tazkiya, isn't it? For purification. And where are we doing purification? On the heart. We are here for the game of purifying the heart, aren't we? This is the game. What are the game is there? That you come behind me and I come after you, etc. And we push each other and help each other, assist each other. That this flesh of the heart, we want to purify it, clean it. This is our objective, and we're trying and making effort, and we should do this, and this is our objective. And what are we doing? We're trying to purify the heart, and we've got water to purify the heart. And what is that water? Say it loudly. What is it? No, I can't hear, understand what you're saying. Say it louder. Dhikr Allah. That's right. So this is the cleaning agent. Allah's given. And the person who hasn't started this, then write it down. These are in gold. His heart can never be clean. Never. These are words you can inscribe in gold. If you do not put the clothes into the machine, if you don't wash them, they cannot be clean. Doesn't matter how much you try, 10 years, you can stand next to the machine and put the washing powder on top of the machine and the clothes next to the machine and put everything there. After 10 years, there will be even more dirtier the clothes, they won't be clean. But alhamdulillah, you put the clothes into the machine, after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the clothes will come out clean and pure and fragrant. In the same way, the heart. All your life long, you can try your best. Try your best all your life long. Make efforts here and there. But if you don't take the tasbih into your hand and do dhikr, Allah, Allah, the heart cannot be cleaned. And as soon as we sit and we rotate the tasbih, utilize the tasbih, then the heart will be clean. Just like you've put the clothes, dirty linen, into the washing machine to clean them. And what is the powder, the washing agent that we use? Ismizat, Allah's name. And then you start to use the tasbih. And Mubarak, congratulations those people. Mubarak, Mubarak are those people, lucky and fortunate, who have taken this and utilize this and understand their destination. And the meaning of this is not to become a wali or a wali of Allah, or to become famous, etc. No, there's one grief we should have in our heart, that the time to come, Allah, make that time easy for me. Make that time easy for me. The time that will come first, the first test, the first challenge, which is the test at the time of death. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, look, when you're departing this world, then say, if you want to save yourself from the hardship of death, then it should be the ease that from your mouth the name Allah is being uttered and mentioned. And this is the struggle and what we have to strive for. Those people who were, you can say, understanding people, sensible, our pious predecessors, they went into the corners of the Khanqah. They were great people, great personalities. They wrote tafsir and commentaries. They had read the Quran. They had knowledge of hadith. But in the last moments of the nights, they used to sit in the corners of the Khanqah and sit at the feet of the walis of Allah and used to cry and shriek out and call out, Allah, Allah, please purify our hearts, please purify our qalb. They used to understand that all the alum, the knowledge we have, the benefit will be when my heart is clean. So brothers, this is the, you can say, final destination, you know, the journey to the final destination, that we're cleaning the heart. And as we're moving, walking, there comes a place that comes along with a person in parallel while he's clean. While we're cleaning and purifying, you get elevated and you increase and get promoted in the levels. And when you get to the high stages, when the akhlaq is pure and clean and nice and fresh, and then you can consider that your tazkiyah has been very nice and beautiful. And as soon as the akhlaq reduces, then, for example, when the heart goes to the highest stage, and there's purity in the heart, when husni akhlaq comes, the good akhlaq, good conduct, Allah Ta'ala will announce in the angels that this is my friend. Amongst the angels, that this is my friend. So you have to keep on trying and making effort. And this is a very important destination. So those people asked the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so what a beautiful answer came, that akhlaqi hasana, the best akhlaq, the good akhlaq. The person who doesn't have good conduct and manners, then his salah is not good. That's why I said afzal, the greatest thing. Otherwise that person's crazy. He's like an animal. He doesn't have akhlaq. He doesn't know how to speak. He doesn't have manners. He doesn't know how to interact. And just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a famous hadith, that this was why I came to the earth. I came to the earth to teach and spread good akhlaq. This was the objective. The reason why I didn't come here to teach you prayer and sujood and prostration. I came to educate you on one subject, which is akhlaq. Excellent conduct and manners and behavior. And we see this, that where Rasulullah ﷺ came, he lived amongst the Arabs in the country where he was, in the locality where he was. There were people they were rude, they didn't have manners, they didn't have etiquettes. Now, what is akhlaq? First of all, let's understand this point, because we have a deception here. Akhlaq, we think smiling and talking. This is not akhlaq. You're walking and you, for example, you just put a smirk on the face and smile at people or laugh at, you know, smile at somebody. Everyone's mouth, you know, it becomes with a smirk. Everyone, even a little child, the little children, they started doing this as well. Even a little child, I was amazed. She was, I think, for a year old, and I went to, and she just smiled at me like that. I said, Subhanallah, look at this. That how, where does shaitan get to? Like, it was a smirk. It was like a fake smile. Fake smile, like a, you know, not a genuine smile. Is this akhlaq? Now this was there. If this is here, And this is in society today. So do we define this as akhlaq? Where somebody just does a fake smile, grins and shows his teeth. How are you? I'm behind nothing. And we call this akhlaq. Yes, yes, have some tea. Is this akhlaq? To serve tea? Oh, please sit down, sit down, sit down. You first, you come, Mulana Sahib, you come first. Is this akhlaq? This is a drama. This is not akhlaq. Akhlaq has been defined. I will explain to you what is akhlaq, good akhlaq. Listen, what is akhlaq? High level manners. No, no, no. Come, smile, grin. Look at that person nicely. Yes, sit here, give him a seat. Do this and do that. Serving someone. This is a drama. Come, come, sit with us and eat with us. And so what is this with? Oh, you have to eat with the people as well. So this is outward, apparent akhlaq. And this is not the definition of akhlaq. This is not the akhlaq of the Sufi. Subhanallah. I saw in my Hazrat, my Shaykh, at night time, 11 PM, somebody came and he was hungry through the day. This is akhlaq. He was hungry through the day, Hazrat, and the guest came 11 PM in the night. Okay, it was the khanka, and you can't stop somebody. You can come anytime to the khanka. There's no time of entrance and exit, etc. So Allah, the friend of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gave him a duty that any time anyone could be sent to you, to the khanka. And Allah Ta'ala sends a person. The men, doesn't Allah say in the Quran that, O Prophet, Allah Ta'ala said that when the believing women come to you, when the believing men come, that when these women are sent, then give them bayah, give them the teaching. So this is a khanka, and all the darvish have come. Who has sent all of us? You, Allah. So if somebody comes towards Allah, then how much you have to appreciate when somebody is coming for Allah Ta'ala's sake. So at that time there was nothing at home. Hazrat had nothing at home, and the guest who came said, I want malai, I want the clotted milk, the thick creamy milk. Night, 11 PM in the village, and he said that, you know, I want some cream and clotted milk. You know, like you should ask, isn't it, the guest? And he said, Hazrat, no problem. You rest. He came to his sheikh with some manis. He said, Hazrat, you know me, what I like. I have malai. I like that thick, creamy milk on the top. And at home, Hazrat didn't even have milk. Didn't even have anything to drink. And Hazrat Sahib, Allah knows best, because I don't know what, how we got the resources. And I was by chance, it was 11 PM, it was very cold, and it was very in the village areas, in the wilderness. Who's awake at 11 PM in the winter? And I was sat there in the khanka, and I was just sat there, and he was there, and I was there, and I heard this. I witnessed this. What's this man doing? I said, what's up? He said, oh, you sit far away from me. He said, the food has come for me. I said, I don't want to eat your food. You know, people like that, they get a little bit greedy. And I was looking closely that there was something white in the plate. And I thought, maybe this is yogurt. And I was looking at my sheikh that he doesn't have yogurt to eat. And the yogurt came. I said, Mulana, what is it you're eating? He said, my sheikh, he knows what I like, what I enjoy. And I'm eating malai, the thick cream on the top of the milk, and hot chapatis and malai. And I was thinking, the tears came to my eyes, the tears. Hazrat, this is akhlaq, the conduct manners. How Hazrat went out of his way to serve him? No, you've come and give him something else. No, that Hazrat, he would sacrifice his own stomach and give to others to eat. And that's how he became the wali. You don't become a wali for nothing. This line, it becomes at that time you're fortunate and successful when your akhlaq is great. And what is akhlaq? Don't think that Sufi's akhlaq is the grin. Outward, come, come, here's your seed, this for you, grinning your face and showing a smile. These things are there, yes. But for example, when Rasulullah came, everything was there. So what akhlaq did he come to complete and demonstrate, Rasulullah? What was his akhlaq that he came to demonstrate? Because everyone did this, smiling and grinning, you offer, seat for you. So what is the definition of good akhlaq? Subhanallah, the definition of akhlaq is total definition here. Total definition is to fulfill the rights. Do you understand what I'm saying? To fulfill the rights of the people. This is the high level conduct and manners and behavior. To fulfill the rights of society. And a person who learns this, that how do I fulfill the rights of people around me? He has the highest grade of conduct and manners and behavior. Good social skills. So where was this in the Arab world at that time? When Rasulullah, they didn't know about how to give meet other rights. They didn't know about their wife or their children. They used to bury their daughters alive. When our master, Rasulullah came, my master, and he came, the same people there, when they used to bury their daughters alive, their daughters used to be screaming. They were half buried in the earth. Their heads were sticking out, their bodies. These were the people. They thought that they were high in status. So when the true akhlaq came, and when the people who just grinned and smiled, and how did they change? Those same people, like I said to you before, that those same people who would bury their children alive, how did they make their akhlaq? They were so cautious that even an ant shouldn't be buried under my footsteps, because the ant has a haq and a right. The ant has the right. The animal has the right. The human being is a human being. Even the pigeons have rights. The donkey has a right. Every animal has a right that has to be fulfilled. And this is called haq. Haq. And the person who understands the haq for people and society, he has the highest grade manners. And what is the important? That where there are no haqq, And those societies who forget the haqq for each other, then what is the opposite? The fasad comes, fitna comes. And never in the Islamic society was there fasad and fitna. If you look at the conduct and the akhlaq of Rasulullah, he came and eliminated the fitna and all of the trials and the disputes and the quarrels and the fighting in society. Look at that scene, Rasulullah, the same qom, the same nation who used to throw stones on the Prophet, who used to throw the intestines of animals on his back, who used to put the nettles and thorns in his path, who used to swear him at him, who used to strangle his neck. You know this little event? Don't we? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and the people who didn't believe, they came, and for example, it was Abu Jahl or somebody else. He said, bring the intestine, the most heaviest intestine of the camel. Imagine the camel and the intestines, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the prostration, and he put the intestines, in total intestine of the camel on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The woman, she shrieked out, you zalims, you oppressors, what are you doing? Don't you feel ashamed? This is a pious man of God. What are you doing? And the woman shouted out, she was a slave of somebody, and she was beaten as well, and she went running to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. She said, do you know what's happened? What's happened? What's happening there in the Maidan? She said, this way, this zulm, oppression against your husband, and such an intestine, he can't even move now. Such has been thrown of the Prophet. And there, all the daughters, they were quiet. And Hazrat the daughter, the young, she said, Ammi, I want to go there. I want to give me ijaza. And she went running. And she went to, with her small hands, the daughter of Rasulullah, she was trying to move the intestines of her father's back. Imagine the dhulm, oppression, when it comes to the extreme, what happens to people. With her small hands, and she's crying. She's crying, she's saying, Baba, my father, that she pushed it away and said, Baba, that can you not say to your God that can we go somewhere else from here? SubhanAllah, the daughter is saying this. Radiallahu anhu, tell your Lord God that there's a lot of dhulm going on here. Baba, they hit you a lot, they beat you a lot. Please ask your God, please ask Allah that we are fed up here, we're frustrated. Take us somewhere else, send us somewhere else. And Allah's Nabi says, no, my daughter, my child, Allah Ta'ala has kept us here, and we will stay here, and we will correct this qawm. We improve this nation. So this is akhlaq and manners and behavior. And that same nation, those same people, when Rasulullah came, and his neck was bowed, we don't know what's going to happen to us, do we? And Allah's Nabi said, go, I've forgiven all of you. I've forgiven all of you. So this is akhlaq and manners. So brothers, this akhlaq, the haqq, how to fulfill the rights. Islam, our deen, our madhab, the best and the first thing in our inside us, what is that? What it teaches us? Haqq, how to fulfill the rights of people. Now we don't have manners of how to fulfill the rights. For us, it's a joke. We think haqq a joke. We know how to walk, stand. There are rights for standing at the shop, doing transactions, running the business, the factory, the employee, the employer, the boss, walking, traveling. There's no part of life where we are not either taking the rights or giving the rights. There's no part of life where either we are not receiving the rights or meeting other rights. There's a haq, the right for every part of life. And when we disturb the rights, then that society is destroyed. Fasad comes, quarrels come, dhulam comes, oppression comes. And it's like you are standing in the jungle and praying. You're reading Quran, but you're reading Quran in the jungle. All of the, you can say, appreciation of the rights of society ends. And this is our Islam that teaches this. Imagine this, the ta'aleem, the education, the light of Islam. Look at the pages of the Quran. Look at the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of his life, let's see this. And then after that, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, let's see their life. Their life. What is that great generation? And we just see one thing that is great at that time, that was the level of akhlaq that they possessed. How they distributed the rights correctly to the society. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, look, I will improve the people from within you, such and such people will be born out of the society, that in their hearts, these are the walis, that will make their hearts pure, that they'll have one desire always, that how do we fulfill the needs of people? This will be the ibadah, the greatest ibadah. They will not be able to see that somebody, human being, has a problem, a woman has a difficulty, an issue, an Islamic problem, hereafter problem, and their lifestyle will be, wherever they're living, whatever they're doing, this great group of people, they attempt all life long, they want to do good to someone, benefit somebody, make somebody happy. And further stated, what will be the hashab? That there will be great people standing on the Day of Judgment, but without any accounting, reckoning, they will go into paradise, and to such a place that they will stand on the Day of Judgment, where when they go there, the members will be made of noor, of light where they will stay, the pillars, and not due to any worship. And it will be announced on that day that these were those people in the world who fulfilled the needs of other people. In another hadith, that if you want to, if your heart feels you want to help someone, but you can't fulfill the need or the requirement of somebody else, then it's stated that upon this special character, Allah Ta'ala says, give two rewards, that I will free you from hellfire and I will free your heart from hypocrisy. Because you have the desire, you want to free people from their difficulties. Now, do you have this in the? Do we have this in our country? We have madrasas and masjids and Quran and tafsir. But why hasn't our society been made yet? We know how to prostrate. We know how to go around the Kaaba, Umrah. We know how to do tawaf. We know how to learn all the masail and how to wash hands with water, and how to put the water into the nose and into the ears, how to do ablution. But we have not learned how to complete the akhlaq and make others happy. What a big point. Big point. We are suppressed today. The society is suppressed because our hearts are black. Nor do we wash our hearts. Nor do we ever pay attention to our hearts. Nor do we go to the gathering of the Wadi Wala. If we go to the gathering of a Wadi Wala, this tradition, habit, custom, oh, we're going there and this will get a rank, a status, and I'm bayat to the sheikh and I'm going to become great and glorious. But none of us has this desire that how many defects do I have in my heart? How many people's rights do I kill? Suppress. Look, in the country, if akhlaq is not there, the country is destroyed. If in a village there's no akhlaq manners, then that village is destroyed. In that house where there's no akhlaq, then the house is destroyed. There's divorce and fighting and quarreling. We don't know that the husband doesn't give the rights to the wife doesn't give to the husband, the child doesn't give to the father doesn't give to the children, and there's total detachment and quarrel and dispute and broken society. And this is the first question on the Day of Judgment. First question, we haven't read this hadith, but I've heard this from an alim. A scholar, Mustanid. Narrator, he said, the first question that will be asked on the Day of Judgment, what would Allah Ta'ala ask on the first day? And who will be freed on that day? First question, if you had good, great akhlaq, meeting the rights, distributing the rights out to society, to people around us. Let's think, this is a majlis, a gathering of tazkiyah. That's why I'm sitting here for my hisab. That our maqsad, our objective, let's not move away from it. Let me keep on analyzing that how much am I washing my heart due to my dhikr? That how much have I persevered? If somebody said something bad, how much did I persevere? Was I patient? And how much did I sacrifice for the benefit and happiness of somebody else? If somebody said, no, this is the case, and you hear it, and for example, you turn the direction of your car so that you didn't give anything bad to anyone. You didn't think, oh, it's my food time, sleeping time, clothing time. Somebody asks for help. You turn the direction of your car to go and help that person. That you travel or you give your rights or your energy or health for the benefit of other people. Ajeeb hadith comes to my mind. This is the quality of a mu'min, that at that time, there will come a time and thereafter. Brothers, many times will come. Abu Hazar used to say, what games are we playing in the world? We need to prepare for that time. Ajeeb times will come. Such a time will come, listen to this carefully what I'm saying, and this time will come upon all of us, that that time, this decision will be made about hell and heaven. Heaven and hell. Those people who have sins attached to them, what will happen? They will be thrown towards hellfire. What will happen at that time? They will be freed from hellfire. Their sins will be removed. And where will they be pulled towards? Listen carefully, to where? Towards paradise. Not yet. That they will burn in hellfire, their sins will be burnt, and then they will be pulled towards paradise. Then a bridge will come before paradise, between hellfire and paradise. A bridge will come before paradise, and that will be the final crossing, you can say crossroads. And the people will be happy, we're free now, we're out of hellfire, the sins have been removed, and we've burnt, and we're free from hellfire. And obviously, all the mu'mins will go into paradise, and while they're going to paradise, they will see a bridge, and they will see that checking will start. What will be that checking? They'll say that all our sins have been burnt, we've burnt hellfire. They say, no, these sins weren't for those to be burnt. Those sins, yes, some have been burned, but you will have to pay accounts for those sins. Where you killed each other's rights, you will have to pay and reckon for those sins here. You have to stop it. At this time, if you fail, then you'll be sent back. You'll be sent back. So here, deal with each other. If you can forgive each other, then you have a final chance. Then here is paradise in front of you. In the hadith is stated that all the gardens of paradise will be visible, and the person will be wiping his hands. I have to bargain now? Make some transactions with my deeds that I burnt. I killed off the rights of people. And for us, it's not even important. Even if I elbow someone, I've elbowed him, I will have to reply for that at that place, at that crossing, that bridge. You pushed that person, you pulled him, you gave him an elbow. Did you fulfill his rights? The husband will be asked about the wife. Did you fulfill the rights of the wife? The wife will be asked, did you fulfill the rights of the husband? The children will be asked, did you fulfill the rights of the parents? And everyone will be told, they reckon towards each other.
and bargain with each other and ask each other that, did you take my rights? Give me my rights. And then after that it will be made a decision that, can you go into paradise? It will be the final checkpost. The angels will be stood there. Otherwise those people will be sent back to hellfire. And what will happen? Will anybody forgive me that day? So here, seek forgiveness here right now on earth. There are rights for every man, every woman, every child, every person who's living creature, not just a mu'min and no-mu'min, human beings. Even doesn't matter if it's a Muslim, non-Muslim, non-believer, doesn't matter. We cannot differentiate. We have to distribute the rights to every human being in the world, and the creatures and the animals. You cannot do zulm against anyone in society. Nobody. There's no differentiation. Oh, he's a non-Muslim, hit him or kill him or steal from him or take his money. Astaghfirullah. He's not a believer. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, first I will do hisab. That how did you pester these people who are not even Muslims? First you'll be asked about that action. Allah's Nabi said, I will be the witness myself. Allahu Akbar, I will be standing as myself the witness. That what game are you playing? What game are you playing? And imagine that such a severe law has been revealed to us. So what a question was asked by this Sahabi, subhanAllah. Imagine how beautiful is this hadith. How beautiful is this question. Isn't it? Rajulun khazima. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu. Qalu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma khairun atiul insanun. Who is, what is the best thing that was given to the human beings? And what did Rasulullah SAW reply with? Al khulqul hasan. Al khulqul hasan. The best worship, the best prayer, best than everything. This is the hadith, isn't it? The greatest action is to have the best level of akhlaq, manners, behavior, conduct. And this should be our destination for all of us who are seeking tazkiyah, purification. That on the earth we should keep on looking in the mirror inside ourselves. That what level of akhlaq do I have? Who am I oppressing? Whose rights am I trampling on? Who am I exceeding against? Who did I speak against? Who did I shout against? If he comes to me and asks for forgiveness, so if I go and ask for forgiveness. But today we're in such a position that our akhlaqs have dropped to such a level that even if we feel something that I have done excess against somebody, that within us there's so much pride and you can say non-appreciation, and we have so much takabbar, you can say pride, so much in our hearts that even if we know we've done wrong, we can't even say from our broken mouths, sorry, I've made a mistake, forgive me. We can't even say it. If a person doesn't have the regret and remorse and he doesn't elevate the other person, then don't think that you're going to be able to make the transaction and get forgiveness in the Day of Judgment. We should say openly that, please forgive me, I've done wrong, I'm sorry. And the other person, if he doesn't accept the forgiveness, he's making him feel more that you've done dhulam to me, you've taken my money, you've taken my property, my belongings, you shouldn't have done this. For example, you disrespected me, you dishonored me. If that person understands and feels regret, you shouldn't say, no, yeah, you did that to me, I'm not going to forgive you. You should say with an open heart. Even if that person is stopped for a second, this is Ajib hadith, I've just told you that when we will be stopped at that bridge, this is in Ibn Kathir, Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Read this hadith. That was reading the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir and the verse, the commentary of a verse, and this hadith came up. My brothers, this is a big fact. A big fact. In our lives, we think openly that we just, all we know is read 5 times Salah and do this and that. Worship, alhamdulillah, ibadah is a great action. There's no doubt, no doubt. And ibadah brings us there. But what about acceptance of the ibadah? That where's the akhlaq in our lives? Where's the humanity? That we shouldn't have just the grinning and showing the teeth and smiling. This is not the definition of praise. Even the 1-year-old child who has no understanding, she's smiling with that fake smile. So this is not akhlaq. Akhlaq is what I said, distributing the rights. So brothers, we need to make effort for this. You have to make effort for everything. Pick up the tasbih, do dhikr, sit in the gathering of the wali wala, do dhikr morning and evening. Alhamdulillah, he sees you, you see him, and you see the wali, the sheikh, and he sees you, and time passes. Alhamdulillah, in this way you do tasbih, remember Allah. How can it be the hearts will not be clean? How can it be? Who will stop you on that point? Before that, without reckoning, you will be sent into paradise. And this game is in our hands. The dice is in our hands. If we make effort today, if we try today, we understand this point today, in the light of the Quran hadith, and inshallah Jannah will come tomorrow and we will compete with each other, and Maut will come, Qabr will come, grave will come, we'll have to compete with the questions. The angels will come, they'll ask us, there'll be challenges and trials. The angels who wrote down our deeds, they recorded the deeds. Let me tell you hadith, all the angels will come. It's stated that Allah Ta'ala will send the people of paradise into paradise. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith. Then they won't just be going into paradise normally walking, rather there'll be an angel protector, guide. Eh? You know, like the guards, there will be an angel guard, and he will know, this angel will know that human being from the earth. He will know him. A deep, beautiful system Allah has made in the heavens. And that angel will know that human being from the earth. And that angel, he will jump ahead and he will go ahead of the other angels like a chaudhry and be walking. Yes, stamping his foot on the ground. And the person of paradise, he will see what a scene.
our Holy Prophet ﷺ has told us the scenes for the life to come. Who can tell us about this life? And it's Mubashshiran wa Nadhira, who gave us the good news, and we're fighting over him. He was this. We don't know these important hadith, but we know how to debate. He was this, and munazara and debates. He was this. We're trying to understand the unseen, the unknown. Rasulullah was this. Why are you falling into nonsense, waste of time, activities and arguments? Whatever Rasulullah was, just stay silent and implement those hadith that Rasulullah came to explain. Mubashshiran wa Nadhira. And let's define. We don't need to know more than that. Why are you delving into the things, to the oceans where we have not got the knowledge? Allah Ta'ala has said, I have introduced and praised the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's given you explanation of this life and the hereafter. Listen carefully to what he's saying. Implement what he's saying. He's telling us about paradise and how that person will be walking into paradise. And his angel will be in front of him. And the inhabitant of paradise will be behind him. When the Jannati, he will be wandering around going towards paradise. And this will happen with that person about to go to paradise. It totally will happen like this. Just like you're sat in a car and you drive. Imagine the scene and the example of the Jannati, that you're sat in a car and you're going to your home. Okay? And it happens normally like this, doesn't it? That you're going to your home. And what happens when you put into your car? What do you put? The navigation system. And you look at the navigation system and you're going to a new place, a new residence, a new town, a new city, somebody's house to visit him, and you know that there's a light here, or it's not going to come, I'm going to turn here. Do you know? And we don't know. And you get to your house with the sat-nav. So the angel that will be in front of that Jannati, and he'll be behind the angel, will be going the same way. He'll just be following the angel. When he reaches to his locality, which will be his home in paradise, he'll say that he would be so attached and close to the angel, and he'll know about that place, that he won't even know that this is not my house. Totally with ease, this is his home. And he'll say goodbye to the angel, and the angel will say salam, and he'll go into his home in paradise, and he'll start enjoying himself. Subhanallah, these are the words. He will start playing. You know this is his home, that he won't think it's a weird or a place he's not accustomed to, and Allah will make him used to his home in paradise. How? What maqamat Allah Ta'ala has kept for us, my friends? Are we not wasting the opportunity? Today we need to make effort. We'll do dhikr of Allah, we will clean the hearts, we will bring akhlaq into our lives. Let's make attempts today to elevate our akhlaq. If we make a mistake, ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness. Don't be ashamed, because being ashamed, that will be a very bad being ashamed. Remember, so today press your hands together. I made a mistake, please make it. I've committed excesses. No. He said, please forgive me. Are you forgive me or not? Okay, take the forgiveness, then leave that person's side. And that's when our life will be on the right path. And be careful and cautious that don't exceed against anybody, don't transgress against anybody. And if you do dhulm against somebody, be careful, don't oppress. Be careful with that person. Am I right or am I wrong about this? So it's a very important point. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the capability to understand these points. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to increase our akhlaq and our conduct, behavior. And may Allah Ta'ala give us a high, lofty home in paradise. The biggest ibadah is akhlaq. And it's not difficult. It's easy to attain. La yukallifullahu nafsan musaha. Allah Ta'ala says that no ibadah, no worship, no action is hard for you. It's not difficult for you. Totally, it's according to your character and your capacity. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given this to you. You know, you say it's hard or difficult, like in the morning, get up for Fajr. We say it's hard. Totally, it's not hard to get up for Fajr. It's according to our tabiat and our physical capacity. You know, when we start Fajr Salah praying, then first you say, oh, it's difficult, it's hard, my eyes are red. And when you start praying, then you'll feel so much difference and ease getting up in the morning, that you'll feel the taste of getting up in the morning, and you'll feel the energy and the urgency, because it's natural getting up in the morning. Huh? But if we go towards haram after that and do wrong actions, then our character will go towards the flip side, the opposite side, because it's against our natural actions. So alhamdulillah, our deen is according to our nature, totally with fitrah and nature. So today I'm speaking about akhlaq and manners and conduct. It's not difficult to have good, excellent level of manners and conduct, but we need to make a bit of effort. We need to walk across the boards, and akhlaq will automatically come to our life. People will be amazed that I'm not good. You say I'm not good, and people will start praising you, that you're good, you're a good person, a good human being, and I like sitting with you. I feel ease sitting with you, and I feel comfortable sitting with you, and I feel the peace in my heart. Do people say this or not? You will have met people who say this to you in your life. They sit with you and say, I feel sukoon and peace and comfort. You don't talk bad about others. And when you're laughing, it's a nice laughter and a little bit light banter. You're not complaining, not talking rubbish, nonsense. You're not criticizing people, backbiting. Nice talk about the dunya. Not that you're just talking about Quran and verses, but everything when you talk is like flowers and fragrance coming out of your mouth. Everything is like this. MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala make us like this as well, my brothers. So inshallah, we will start dhikr with the fadl of Allah.